ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central. Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go.
This is Sports Central.
Go.
On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
Okay, welcome in Sports Central on WGNRadio.com. Happy Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. And got a good show for you today. I cannot believe, well, I just spent what we're calling lacrosse talk with Bill and Wendy talking about how this actually did not shock me, but it's still, it is shocking just to see all of this unfold at the NFL level and catch everyone off guard, even though there's been rumors about this for weeks. And I'm talking about our lead.
People make decisions. People tell people no every day. They tell people no every day. And that's his prerogative, and that's his choice. And he chose the path. He chose not to be an Indianapolis Colt. That's okay. We'll move forward.
Has Josh reached out to Mr. Irsay directly?
I don't have knowledge of that.
All right, guys.
Thank y'all.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
The rivalry is back on.
What a great comment that was. That's Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. Last night, the news broke from Adam Schefter that Josh McDaniels, who for weeks has been in agreement with the Indianapolis Colts to take their head coaching job, of course, had to coach in the Super Bowl. The rules do not allow him to officially accept the job until after the Super Bowl. And there were rumors about this last week. I must have heard every single day up in Minneapolis a rumor about Josh McDaniels potentially not taking the job. And there was a story. This was like right before kickoff, or was it actually during the game, Joe? I remember looking at this in the press box Sunday night at the game from Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio reported that the headline was, "Chatter is increasing that Josh McDaniels may stiff-arm the Colts. The Colts think they'll be getting a new head coach after Super Bowl 52, and while they may ultimately land Josh McDaniels, there's some reason for concern. PFT has heard increasing chatter throughout the day that McDaniels may decide not to leave New England." This was immediately shot down by everybody and laughed at on Sunday. I saw Florio go on Twitter last night with his own little laugh at you, which usually I'm like, all right, you don't need to do that. But in this case, I was like, good for you, man.
Yeah, and that's a big story on the biggest stage. You know, you can't just, for the Super Bowl, to talk about something like that, like a rumor on the Super Bowl, it has to be a pretty big story and it has to have legs. You know, Florio's not going to come with some trash, source. He came with it and turns out he was right.
He was. And look, everyone wants to put blame here, right? I think there's blame on both sides. All right. Let's start with the Colts. You knew what you were getting into here with Josh McDaniels. One of the columnists I love to read is Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Used to write national stuff for CBSSports.com. Has been in Indy for a few years now and has done, I've continued to follow him and he does a great job. He wrote this on January 15th. Headline, Doyle, the Colts are expected to hire Josh McDaniels. ... Why? And he goes on to rip the guy for everything that happened in Denver back in 2009, all of which led to Jay Cutler being a Chicago Bear. That's the fun part about all this. But Josh McDaniels, almost a decade ago, went into Denver, made terrible decisions with talent, ran Jay Cutler out of town, drafted Tim Tebow in the first freaking round, lost a bunch of games, broke rules, and was fired in a year and a half. Okay, he was young. Wasn't ready. Goes back to New England. Great offensive mind. Working with Tom Brady. He's learned his lessons. and he's going to be a great coach now. How many Bears fans do we hear from in the last couple months? I want Josh McDaniels. Ryan Pace did interview him, but what did I tell you throughout that process? I just can't see it happening. Ryan Pace, if there's one thing we've learned about him, cares a lot about character. And look, I said this a bunch of times. I don't know Josh McDaniels. I don't know the real Josh McDaniels. I'm not going to pretend to. And I'm not going to sit here and crush him for being a bad guy. But you get a vibe for how people mesh. And you saw it day one with Matt Nagy at the press conference and how similar he was to Ryan Pace from just a personality standpoint. And I just don't think Josh McDaniels... I don't think Ryan Pace was going to hire somebody that did what Josh McDaniels did in Denver.
He also had the pit stop in St. Louis. Things didn't go great there. Not that he had a ton of great pieces, but, I mean, he just... Without Brady, he's been completely and totally unimpressive.
I agree, but, you know, the thing is, he's been with Brady, you know, for so... I mean, it's like 15 years now he's been with the Patriots. So, I'm not going to crush him for that, you know, like, say it's a negative. That always only been with Brady, and Brady's, you know, to blame for all success. But I just think the Colts here, you decide to go down this road. I understand you're not thinking the guy's going to change his mind, but it can't completely catch you off guard, especially when there's rumors about this going on for a week. We're going to have Derek Schultz. He hosts afternoons down in Indianapolis. He's got a much closer you know, feel for everything that's happened here over the last couple of weeks. And I want to understand how it's all been going down in Indy and if people were nervous. Now, there's this idea that Josh McDaniels is now stuck to the Patriots going forward. No one else is going to hire him. I do think it's going to be even tougher for him to get jobs than it already has been. But let's also realize that things change. It's all about the people you know, and all it takes is one person for him to still be tight with to hire him. I have to imagine if he made this big of a decision to go back to New England, that there had to be some kind of at least handshake agreement that he's going to take over for Bill Belichick. Now he's got to hope that that handshake is worth a lot more than the handshake he gave Chris Ballard. And that is going to be a completely fair comment to make here for a while. Because Josh McDaniels has pretty much burned two places. He's still only 41 years old. And then there's his agent representing Chris Ballard, too. And his agent dropped Josh McDaniels today.
That's bizarre.
Which I think tells you something, too. Do we have Derek on the line? Derek Schultz from Fox Sports Radio down in Indianapolis joins us now on the program. You can follow him on Twitter at Schultz975. What's up, Derek?
Hi, how are you?
I am good, man. It's good to talk to you. You're my go-to guy down in Indianapolis. And boy, it has to be a crazy 24 hours, I'm sure, for you guys down there.
Yeah, absolutely. This took just about everybody by surprise. In fact, we were kind of clearing our schedule and trying to figure out what we were going to do about carrying the 4 o'clock press conference to introduce Josh McDaniels as the head coach on the show for our afternoon show. So obviously things have done a complete 180, and it's been a crazy, crazy 24 hours.
So what I was just talking about here on the show, Derek, there were rumors about this going on last week. I was up in Minneapolis the whole week for the Super Bowl, and it must have come up once a day. Not on the air, not, you know, just in the conversations you have behind the scenes. And then, of course, the Mike Florio report came out Sunday, which, when it did, didn't completely surprise me. And so, okay, and then Monday comes around, and it's pretty much said that it's going to happen, and then, of course, the Colts make the announcement. I'm thinking, all right, so whatever the doubts there were are gone now. And then he does this. I mean, it's crazy. But where had those rumors registered in Indianapolis the last few weeks, and how credible were they?
Well, anything that had to do, you know, obviously whenever you have a situation like the Colts had to go through or like the Lions had to go through where you can't get ink on paper and it's not a done deal. In this day and age, you know this, Adam, that there's always speculation. Oh, God, what's going to happen if this happens or that happens? A lot of the talk in Indy had been about what happens if Bill Belichick retires. McDaniels hasn't signed to be the Colts head coach next, so could he possibly spurn the Colts and then turn around and become the Patriots head coach? That's what a lot of the speculation centered around, at least here. I wasn't in Minneapolis, so I didn't have some of the conversations that other people had, but the speculation about Josh McDaniels leaving was mostly centered around Bill Belichick's future and tied into Belichick's future. So when the report came out Sunday, which was during the middle of the Super Bowl, that I think the timing of it is what took people by surprise, because at that point you figured that they were so far down the road already, they had made it through Super Bowl week, that everything was going to be okay. So then it was a tenuous next, I don't know, 24 hours or so, not even really 24 hours, probably more like 12 or 15, because the next morning the Colts tweet out from their official account, Josh McDaniels is our guy. They schedule a press conference, and then you figure at that point, okay, this is 100% now a done deal, or the dunnest of done deals before you can actually put ink to paper. So I think a lot of the chatter, if you will, to borrow a Mike Florio term, was more contingent on what Belichick was going to do with his future, more so than just McDaniels was going to get cold feet and completely pull out and decide to go back to New England to remain as the OC.
Derek Schultz, who hosts Afternoons down in Indianapolis on Fox Sports Radio. So, I mean, that makes sense to me, and I think if ultimately Belichick had retired, you couldn't be that upset if Josh McDaniels decided to take that job. I have to imagine there's some kind of handshake agreement here for whatever Belichick does. What about just the reaction? And I was just referring to Greg Doyle's column from a couple weeks ago, where he was pretty much all over this from the start that, you know, maybe this is not the greatest of hires, just given Josh McDaniels' history. You know, I like Chris Ballard a lot. He used to work here in Chicago. I thought he was doing a great job in Kansas City, and I liked the hiring in Indianapolis. I'm a little surprised that he's having such a hard time with this head coaching search. And this goes, I know the Colts were interested in Matt Nagy too. There was conflicting reports on if there was even an offer. I'm not sure that matters. I think that Nagy was one of Ballard's top choices. What is the view of Chris Ballard here now, considering that we're now almost to middle of February and you guys don't have a head coach?
Yeah, he's definitely got some egg on his face, and there's some embarrassment for the franchise, for sure. And that's when you have something like this happen, inevitably, that's what occurs. Did he identify the wrong candidate? Not maybe from a coaching standpoint, but from who he is as a person and trustworthiness and all of that. Yeah, maybe. And I think he can get grilled for that. But Adam, honestly, McDaniels had hired staff. Mm-hmm. They had active conversations with other coaches about coming here. They had signed a couple of them, including the guy to run his defense and Matt Eberflus in Dallas. He had went through not one but two interviews. The second interview, the owner of the team, Jim Irsay, was there. They had agreed to terms in a contract. They had scheduled a press conference. I mean, this is kind of like Chris Ballard's the groom here, and you've got the wedding venue and the flowers and the caterer and the honeymoon all booked and paid for, and you go through the rehearsal dinner with the bride, and then the next morning she bolts, and that's, I don't know how much I can grill the Colts for that. The Colts have done many things over the last, especially the last 3 years, really, the post-Peyton Manning era, if you will, that I think deserve heavy, heavy criticism, and they've bungled a lot of things, notably how they've handled the Andrew Luck injury situation. But in this case, I think they just got burned. So is that embarrassing? Yeah, absolutely. But they had every reasonable expectation that Josh McDaniels was going to be their head coach, as I feel like any general manager in any team would, to get that far down the road with him.
So my take so far is that there's blame on both sides, but I do think that there's, Josh McDaniels definitely has a lot of explaining here to do. It's not uncommon, and I'm not sure how many people know this, it's not that uncommon for coaches to be announced as the new head coach, sometimes even have a press conference without actually signing the literal contract. These contracts are complicated. They take a lot of time. They include all kind of crazy clauses and incentives and things like that. And like, if you just look at the Bears hiring Matt Nagy, interviewed on a Sunday, took the job Monday morning, press conference Tuesday. I don't know this, but that's a really short window to get the contract signed. Usually there's some kind of agreement that you at least sign or something like that. This is not that situation, though, Derek, because you've at least had the handshake agreement for weeks, correct?
Yes.
And in that time, the agent can be working with the team. I mean, maybe there are rules about that, too. This stuff gets complicated. But I'm guessing behind the scenes they've been working on this contract for weeks. So it should have been there to sign and get this thing done. I still find it crazy that the Colts announced this publicly yesterday without it being 100%.
No, I think that was a huge mistake. And he actually alluded to that. Chris Bauer had a press conference this morning about 11 Indianapolis time and said, look, it's on me about that. We shouldn't have announced anything. I think that is the regret, because that really is what brings in some of the embarrassment. But it's embarrassing just in general to have somebody who you really wanted, who was your guy. You told everybody he was your guy, and then suddenly he's not your guy anymore.
So where do the Colts go from here?
Frank Reich is going to interview, I believe, tomorrow, and that was a guy that name popped up right away in everybody's mind. He has ties here. He spent his first 4 years as an NFL coach on the previous staff. In fact, his first year here was Tony Dungy's last year as head coach, and then he stayed on through Jim Caldwell's three-year tenure, 2009, 2010, 2011, as the quarterback's coach. And then, of course, has run offenses in both with the Chargers and then now with the Eagles, even though he's not the play caller, which, I don't know, maybe gives you some pause. Also, the other name that we're hearing pop up a lot is Dan Campbell, who was the interim head coach with the Dolphins. And I'm not sure if the report was that he was actually going to interview or the Colts are going to contact him, but he's now with the Saints. So those are the two names that a lot of this is centered around. Perhaps Ballard could go back down to Dave Tobe, who is they have a long relationship dating back to their time in Chicago and certainly in Kansas City, who, strangely enough, was never, I believe, formally interviewed for the Colts job the first go around. So those are kind of the three names, I guess, to sort of keep an eye on. But Ballard is saying that he's throwing out his original list, so he's going to go back down the road of some guys that they wanted to talk to the first time around and didn't get the chance to talk to, and perhaps Reich was one of those guys with the Eagles in the middle of a Super Bowl run.
Well, hopefully Dave Tobe's one of those guys, too, because I couldn't believe, given their relationship, that he didn't interview to begin with. And he is a well-respected guy who can pretty much get along with anybody. This is somewhat of an awkward situation, right, with the coaches that have already been hired that, you know, are supposedly going to stick around. And I think Dave Tobe could be somebody that at least brings some sense of normalcy to a very complicated and crazy situation. What's happening with those assistants that signed already?
They're going to honor the contracts of the guys that signed already. So Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, is presumably going to be the defensive coordinator for the Colts in 2018. That's what Chris Ballard backed up today. In fact, he emphatically backed that up today.
Wow.
So that's another thing that puts Adam, you know, this is just such a mess. It further puts the Colts in a bind, because not only are you trying to recruit a head coach to come here and it's February freaking 7th, but you've got to be like, hey, come work for us, but we already picked the guy who's going to run your defense, and you might not even know the dude. Might not be familiar with him at all. So it really, really puts this franchise in a bind.
I know you got a busy day and you got your own show to run to. My producer, Joe Romano, just handed me the Colts schedule for next season. New England Patriots on the road. It's too bad that's not going to be an Indy.
I know, yeah, because it's even though with Kraft and Belichick there's still some hatred to the Colts, I think most of the Patriot fans have moved on post Manning, but here they're still public enemy number one. I mean, we make a joke on the show all the time that the rooting interests here in Indianapolis are the Colts one, IU basketball, and the Pacers three, and number two, whoever's playing the Patriots. I mean, that's really how it feels.
All right, Derek Schultz, Fox Sports Radio 97.5 in Indianapolis. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, man.
All right, there he is. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout, and we're going to bring Jared Payton into the show. Jared had an interesting weekend up in Minnesota. Much different weekend than I had, but we both had a lot of fun. He, of course, presenting the Man of the Year Award. I also want to get his take on what's happened in the last 24 hours down in Indianapolis, the biggest sports story of the day. We'll take a quick timeout, though, here on Sports Central on WGNRadio.com.
What?
Yes!
What?
No!
What?
Let me think.
Ooh.
Yeah!
Good talk, coach. Thanks.
Maybe we should stick the radio.
He's got a point.
Chicago's sports conversation. This is Sports Central with Adam Hogue.
here on Sports Central discussing the Josh McDaniels news not taking the Indianapolis Colts head job, going back to New England. Instead, Jared Payton, you know him and love him from both WGN-TV and WGN Radio, joins the show now. What's up, JP?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
So what was it like giving a Wisconsin Badger the Man of the Year award after losing the Orange Bowl to the Wisconsin Badgers?
Oh, it's actually funny, Hogue, because, I mean, that was the conversation when I first saw him. I said, oh, how you doing, man? Nice to meet you, because it was my first time meeting J.J. Watt. And then he goes, man, it's an honor to meet you. And I go, man, I thought the first thing that you would say to me is that your Badgers beat my Hurricanes. And then he started laughing. And then he hit me with the bombshell, Hoke. He goes, I grew up a huge Miami fan. He's like, that's where I wanted to go to school.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he wanted to go to Miami. He said he sent a bunch of letters to Miami and stuff. And then he got one back, which was kind of like the standard letter. And he said he never heard from him. So it didn't kind of turn out in his favor. But he was a huge Hurricane fan. He had orange and green like sheets on his bed.
See, that's just got to make it worse for you then. Because J.J. Watt could have been a cane.
It turned out good for him, man. He is not only a great person, a great guy, but when you stand next to him, Hogue, you just really see why offensive linemen and running backs have such a hard time corralling him while he tries to get to their quarterback.
It's amazing, man, and I was hoping to get a chance to talk to him last week, but I just didn't. I actually wrote one of the first stories ever about him at Wisconsin back when he was on the scout team the year he had to sit out because he transferred from Central Michigan. He was playing tight end there, and he got the opportunity to transfer to Wisconsin and walk on, and he was on scout team that year, and Brett Bielema was not shy about talking about how great he was doing. Like, behind the scenes, he'd just be like, hey, wait till you guys see JJ next year. And so I wrote one of the stories on him when he was still on the scout team. And I remember just standing there talking to him. Big dude. But you see him today and you're like, this guy just morphed into a complete monster. It's insane.
Yeah, he was standing next to me, and everybody, just while we were on the field, just said, man, we know you. You got big shoulders, but when you stand up next to J.J. Watt, like, we can't even see you because he's so big. He towers over you. But for a guy that is so monstrous, that is, you know, plays with just this mentality of he never is going to quit. He's always going to go full motor. Behind the scenes, off the field, he is a stand-up guy, Hogan. He's just a good dude. And the award couldn't go to a better person. But listen, all three guys were very deserving of the award. And I think this year for me, it was very hard. Like, really, I knew JJ did what he did, and raising the money that he did in a short period of time, it was amazing. But then I looked at what the work that Greg Olson's been doing over his whole entire career, and when he was a Bear, and then also knowing him as a Hurricane, and, you know, Benjamin Watson, seeing him and listening to him talk over the weekend. You talk about a guy that could definitely go into politics, and he's phenomenal as well. And it just shows that there's a lot of great guys doing great work in the NFL.
Yeah, that's got to be a tough award for you guys to figure out every year, because every single team has at least a handful of guys that are worthy to be nominated for their team, and the teams nominate. Right, the players vote on it on each team, correct?
Yeah, the players vote, and then next thing you know, it goes into the process of the league kind of narrowing it down, and my mom is a part of that process as well. And then once they get down to the final three, it goes through two different voting processes. And so just to see how these guys are, how they want to win the award, Hogue. I mean, the 49ers and the Ravens in New Orleans. That was the first NFL honors, and they did that one right before they announced it, right before the MVP award. And now the Man of the Year award is the last award given of the night.
Yeah. It's the biggest award.
It's the biggest award. And who would have ever thought, you know, going back to 1999, you know, I always go Super Bowls. I never go Super Bowls by the number. That was actually 34. I remember that one, Rams and the Titans. I remember Paul Tagliabue just just asking us to come and be a part of the, you know, the festivities, that they were going to change the name to the award to my dad's name. I'm like, this is awesome. And we sat in his box, we watched the game, and we went home. And now to see where we're at in 2018 with the process of, you know, we just added on a big, huge reception for like all former winners to come to on a Thursday night. The luncheon has grown on Friday to something bigger than we could ever imagine. And then now with the honors and the on the field presentation and how they did it this year with all those former winners from 1970 when the award was created, all on the field behind Brittany and I, I can't even tell you, man. I get chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty cool for you to be a part of every single year. You got to give me a good red carpet story. Because, I mean, I saw you on the red carpet Saturday night, but you were on the other side of that barrier that I wasn't allowed on the other side. So, I mean, you got to give me something.
Okay. So there was a really cool, the Head and Shoulders 360 camera.
I did see that.
Okay, so that was sick. And then right across from that was that Twitter thing where they put you in the snow glow and then they shot you the video in email. So Brittany and I got that as like soon as we got into the reception area to kick it before we went to go sit down in our seats. But Sterling Brown from This Is Us.
Yep.
Actually, everybody knows him as Randall. Randall, we saw him for the second time. We saw him last year leaving the Super Bowl. We saw him this time before honors, and he's talking to us, and he gave us the sneak preview because we all had This Is Us recorded, like, for after the game, and he told us, he looks at us, and he's, like, talking. He's having a great time with Brittany and my mom, and we're just sitting there, and then he stops, and he goes, oh, my gosh, I forgot. And we're all like, what? He goes, There is a shout out to the 85 Bears in the episode tonight. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Next thing you know, I get home and yesterday we're watching. When we get home, I'm watching the show and yeah, it's him getting ready for Super Bowl Sunday and he's listening to the Super Bowl shuffle and my dad's part comes on. He's singing my like dad's part and it's amazing. I'm going, dude, this is classic.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And for those that don't watch This Is Us, he's the guy that also was in the O.J. Simpson
yes.
deal on – was it FX that was on?
I think so. Yeah.
But most people's. Between those two things, if you haven't seen one of the two, then
– where have you been?
Yeah. What's wrong with you? All right, JP. What the heck is going on down in Indianapolis? What's your take on this whole thing with Josh McDaniels?
Man, it's – I don't know. It's tough because I was on – my show last night, Sports Feed, and we were going through some stuff, and then Larry, our producer, comes into our ear in our IFB, and he's like, yo, bombshell. McDaniels is not going to Indy. He's staying in New England. I'm like, what? And I'm trying to process it, and I'm going, okay, what's going on? So the first things that jumped into my head, Hogue, were, okay, maybe you know, Robert Kraft decided he wanted to maybe give him a little bit more money, bring the Brinks truck over to his house and say, listen, stay here. We don't know how much longer, you know, Bill's going to be around and you could be his successor and you'll be our next guy, but we want you to be around. The next thing that popped into my head was maybe he got more insight on Andrew Luck in that possibly everything is not moving in the direction it probably should, or maybe that's where he didn't want to go just because his relationships with quarterbacks and what he's had with Tom. Because I thought this was going to be good. If Andrew Luck could come back, this could be a good fit for him to have Josh McDaniels. And it also for Josh going from Tom to Andrew Luck, that's pretty cool. Those are two quarterbacks to be able to work with when you look at your career when it's all said and done. But then I'm going, man, there's a lot of character issues when I think about, you know, this guy to be able to have things already set up. And I feel bad for, is it four coaches, Hogue, that were already signed in Indy?
It was somewhere around there, yeah.
Right. Like,
it's not even just that. You know, he's been having conversations too with other guys that have at least been thinking about their future and leaving their teams to come because it's been going on for weeks now. Yeah. And all those people, whether they had a signed contract or not, this throws them and their families. That's the thing you have to remember. Most of these guys have kids and families. And if they've already moved, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But it's also crazy that you're signing all these guys before you know, your deal is done with Josh. And I understand. I understand how the process goes. That's what happens when you're on a winning football team and you find yourself in the Super Bowl, where you have to wait around. You have to be able to wait until the season is over. I get that. Totally understand. But for Josh McDaniels, it just goes to show, man, your representation decides to drop you because they just look and they go, man, this is just, it's not good for business. And, you know, also, he's also the representation for the GM over there. It just makes it look bad. And so I just don't know for Josh if there's going to be, there probably will be another opportunity down the line, but I don't know how long that's going to take. And I would be very, very concerned if I was an organization down the line looking for a head coach and he was one of them, and just to be like, yes, this is our guy, because I'd be very hesitant on bringing him into my organization.
Yeah, I was just talking about that too, because, look, he's obviously had to overcome what happened in Denver to get another opportunity. The way that went was so bad that other than him being so young, you're thinking, well, he may not get another job. But eventually you go back to New England. As long as you're in New England and you're in Super Bowls with the Patriots and you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, you're going to get opportunities. I would think that this, you know, limits the opportunities even farther. But, you know, it just takes one guy that you know. Like Nick Caserio, the assistant GM in New England, he's going to get a job at some point. Right, and maybe he's in line to become the Patriots GM when Belichick retires. That's probably a possibility too. But the point here being, I think McDaniels, even if it's not New England, will get a chance down the road, because that's just how the NFL works, and he's still only 41 years old. But this is now two blemishes on his resume, only being 41. You've screwed over two franchises.
Yeah.
It's just not a great reputation to have.
So question for you, are things different if they win Super Bowl Sunday, if the Patriots win? Is this the same outcome? Do we still probably see the same thing? Or does he go, man, I just won another championship. Now it's time to go do something and try to do this on my own somewhere else?
Yeah, I thought about that. I don't know. That's a tough hypothetical to answer. I think that more than likely this has a lot more to do with the conversation he had with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick yesterday in New England,
yeah,
where they changed his mind. And More than anything, it has to do with him taking over for Belichick. I don't know how do you turn down another head coaching job, especially because this was who reported this? I forget. There was a report like a month ago, a pretty credible one. Oh, I think it was Ben Volen in the Boston Globe, that Caserio and McDaniels could have had the John Lynch Shanahan jobs in San Francisco last year.
Wow!
But part of the reason why they didn't take it is because they didn't think they could get Garoppolo. Pride away, which shows you how much Belichick actually loved Garoppolo. The funny thing there, of course, is that Garoppolo ended up in San Francisco without without McDaniels and Caserio. But if they thought that at the time, that's just crazy to think about now. And I would have to imagine that those two are in line to take over this operation in New England, and that may be coming sooner than later.
Yeah, but it's still tough. I mean, because I understand you can kind of be in line, but a lot of the big part of the success is because of Belichick and Brady, and how long is that going to last? And then McDaniels, I don't know if I would want that job. I'll be honest with you. Everything that Bill Belichick has done and built there, and now you have to take over, to me, it would be just too much pressure. I would want to go and get a new head coaching job somewhere else, not in New England following Belichick. You know how tough that's going to be?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you bring up a great point. You have to fill whoever takes over for Belichick. That's going to be a tough job. How does anyone survive that? I mean, the best way for the Patriots to do that is to hand it over to guys who are already in the organization and just to try to keep it going. But you're not going to have Brady, and you just got rid of Garoppolo, which I've been saying is a huge mistake. So,
and you know, Belichick didn't want to give up Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like in his brain, he was thinking that, listen, Tom goes for a little bit longer. He wanted to have like that next guy, but you knew eventually something was going to have to go down. And I just from being around, and you were around Super Bowl Sunday, I mean, around on, in the Super Bowl during the week, and just listening to everything that was going on, and at the game on Sunday, just listening to, you know, people in the league talking about certain things that were flying around about, you know, the Pats. I mean, I had a feeling before the game, as some of the conversations that I had with people from, you know, the Eagles organization, people from the league, by the time I left to go sit down, in my brain, I went into the weekend saying that the Pats were going to win. By the time I got to my seats, from the people that I talked to, I was like, oh yeah, guess what? Eagles are going to win this game.
Yeah.
I just knew. There was so much stuff that was going on behind the scenes. And normally that happens on teams anyway, but, you know, the good teams find a way to be able to get over that and use that, or either as, you know, as a stepping stone to be able to do something great, or sometimes you'll see it kind of make them fall. It really comes down to seeing how this organization moves forward now, though. And with all the turmoil and stuff that's been going on, can they get back on track? And I guess with Tom, I mean, over 500 yards in the Super Bowl, man. Like, there's no signs right there showing you that he's going to slow down. To me, it's watching and seeing how he goes about business next season. And then we'll kind of gauge, because they started out slow. This past season, they started out slow, and then they found a way to be able to pick it up. Defensively, they're going to have to get better. With Patricia gone, they're going to have to find a way to get that defense and bolster it up to be able to compete and win a Super Bowl. Because that, to me, defensively is what lost them that game.
What'd you think of the game?
Oh, Hogue. I've been to every game since 99, man. And that Rams and Titans game, unbelievable. It's just to watch. And I'm a huge Steve McNair fan, and Kurt Warner and I are pretty close. So just watching those two battle was amazing. There was something special about, to me, this is the ones that I've seen live. This has got to be top three.
Yeah.
I mean, last year was something that was so special. You can't even write a story like that. I didn't know it would turn out the way that it did. But this one was so special because watching this Philly team and everything that they went through for the entire season, losing Carson Wentz and other injuries, and then still Doug Peterson really just willing this team and giving them confidence and putting them in the situation to be good, and to watch him call plays and not feel there was no hesitation. And other teams that played the Patriots during the playoffs, you saw there was always some hesitation or a lack of confidence, and the Eagles were confident the entire way. And you can tell by the way that Doug Peterson called the game, and you could see the confidence in Nick Foles and how he came out. He was well prepared and came out and basically out-dueled Tom Brady. Didn't have, you know, throw for as many yards, but when he needed a play, he made some throws, Hogue. That one to Clement in the back of the end zone, like, That was something that was just special, man. And to see he had a man on him, another guy over the top, and then somebody else coming over to come try to make a play, and Nick Foles found a way to be able to get it in there. That throw to Alshon, I don't know if there's anybody. I don't know if Malcolm Butler's in the game. Can he even stop that touchdown? Dude, those throws were big time, and it's one of my favorite Super Bowls I've ever seen, man. It really was.
Well, I had a blast. I had a blast all week. I had a blast at the NFL Honors with both seeing the Man of the Year stuff and Brian Urlacher getting to the Hall of Fame.
Gosh.
I know we both had a chance to talk to Urlacher on Saturday, which was cool. And then the game could not have been any better. And you know what? I like JT's performance, too. So
I did, too. I don't care what anybody says.
But did the audio sound weird to you? Yes. For like the first half of it? Because I didn't know if that was just because I was in the upper deck, but I thought there was something completely wrong with the audio. Then I went back and watched it on TV yesterday. I finally got a chance to watch it, and it came across on TV too.
Yeah, I mean, I could hear, like, when he was underneath and performed before he came out onto the field, it sounded like he was muted and you couldn't hear anything. But I mean, his performance, he's a performer. So regardless of being able to hear him, listen, most of the people inside of U.S. Bank Stadium knew all the words to all of his songs. So, I mean, everybody in my area was singing along. The issue where I'm seeing all these videos of people saying that people weren't having fun, well, people would put down their cell phones home enjoy the performance and not try to get it on video, which you're probably only going to watch once after you leave the Super Bowl.
Right.
Then you would have a little bit more fun, man.
I think I took one quick snap of the Prince part.
I did too.
But because it was just cool and you had it. But I was thinking the same thing from the start. Everybody, even in the press box upstairs, had their phones out. And like, okay, a quick picture or a quick video I get. But like these people that record the whole thing on their phones and they're like watching it through their phone from like zoomed out in the upper deck. I'm like, A, your video sucks. Like, you're so far away. That's not a good video. And B, you're missing the performance. What are you doing?
And B, and C, guess what? It's going to be put up on YouTube somewhere with better quality.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? Just enjoy. And you and I are both like that, where we always have our phones. But for that moment, I wanted to be like I was at a concert and not have to put my phone up and just really just enjoy. Even all my family, we all in our row, we just didn't have our phones out and we enjoyed it. We were dancing. We were singing every song. I enjoyed it. So for everybody that said it was not good, I think you're crazy.
Yeah, I think you're crazy too. What do you got coming up on Sports Feed tonight?
Oh, man. We'll be talking about what we've been talking about all day is just, man, this Josh McDaniels stuff. We'll probably jump into that. We'll talk some basketball as well. You know, there's the trade deadline about to, was it today? If I'm not mistaken.
Is it today or tomorrow?
Today or tomorrow. One of the two. We're going to be talking about that and talking about the Bulls and try to figure out who else is going to be shipped out of here before that deadline hits. And then I think...
You see Giannis's dunk last night?
It's just...
I mean, he jumps over a guy.
It's just not fair, man. It's really not fair. But also what's not fair is Porzingis going down too. Like that, to me, that hurt a lot last night because I love this league and young stars. And yesterday on a show, we were discussing the 98 All-Star game, the kind of the MJ going back and forth with Kobe and just what that game meant for the league and Jordan like on his way out. And then also, you know, seeing Kobe come up as this 19-year-old and in all the young stars that were there. Garnett was still young. These guys were... they were like the next guys to be able to take over, and to see a guy go down with injury like that, it's heartbreaking, man.
All right. Well, JP, thanks for taking the time today.
Anytime.
Join us.
Anytime.
I had to get your thoughts on the weekend because it was
crazy.
It was fun.
I remember I ran up on you. You were on the phone and you were like in serious mode at Mall America, and I just ran up like, with my Snapchat, yeah, like going, "What up, Hogue?"
I was in serious mode all week. I get in the zone with work. You've seen it before, and I'm just like serious guy.
Listen, I'll tell you this. I felt bad for you because, dude, Radio Row was crazy.
It was nuts, and it was hard not having a producer up there.
It's just like, it's so crazy. It was so small, and you were in a fishbowl with all these people staring at you and trying to get through. My wife's like, "You want to go walk through to try to find Adam?" I'm like, "Nah, I'll text him because I might not get out of there." So, yeah. End up seeing you. So, man, always good to talk to you, and we got to do this again.
Absolutely. All right.
See ya.
Have a good show today, JP.
Peace.
All right, Jared Payton, WGN TV. You can see him on the news at 4 o'clock, and then also Sports Feed 6 o'clock on CL TV. We'll take another quick break. Get back to our buried headlines. I mentioned that dunk from last night. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And the White Sox got disrespected again. It's ridiculous. Be right back on Sports Central. Sports Central here on a Wednesday without snow in Chicago, but, well, no, there was snow last night. And then I heard we're getting a ton on Friday. I'm ready for summer already. It's like right when football ends, you're just like, come on, let's get to summer. All right, buried headlines. Got a bunch to get to here closing out today's show. The dunk from Giannis Antetokounmpo last night was insane. He jumped over Tim Hardaway Jr. on an alley-oop. Poor Tim Hardaway. Joe, did you see the dunk?
I did not. I'm searching it on Twitter right now.
It shouldn't be too hard to find. It was an alley-oop on a fast break,
And Hardaway didn't even know what was coming.
Yep.
And Giannis is a big dude and went over him. Disrespectful, but awesome. Awesome. And Porzingis, did they have a diagnosis on the knee injury today?
I've heard is that it's a right ACL.
So it is ACL.
Yeah.
So Porzingis out for the year. The White Sox have been disrespected a bunch of times here recently with the Cubs winning the World Series and outlets like ESPN not being able to get their facts straight. Then there was most recently during the playoffs this year, which pointed to two teams that had like the best record in the playoffs, right? And they completely forgot that the White Sox went 11-1 2005.
Yep, that happened.
So there's a Wheel of Fortune puzzle. And I guess one of the categories they do is a crossword deal. Like, it's situated like a crossword puzzle with some of the words are going vertically. And you can find this on Twitter, too. I'll retweet it at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. But there were four Chicago teams on the crossword puzzle. There was the Blackhawks, the Bulls, the Bears, and the Cubs. Not five, just the four. And I get it, White Sox is not the easiest word to get in there, but if you look at the puzzle, at least at the very end, top right corner, easily could have gone down SOX. And I think everyone would have understood that. I don't think this is as egregious as like ESPN forgetting the White Sox exist.
Yeah.
But if that's going to be your thing, like you're doing this puzzle on Chicago sports teams, how do you leave the Sox out?
It's a touchy subject.
But to the White Sox's credit, they tweeted it out and they said, "Here, I fix this for you, Wheel of Fortune." And they put the White Sox in. Didn't really fit, but it was still funny.
Hey, so getting back to that Porzingis thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are four injuries here to All-Stars. DeMarcus Cousins, he's out for the season with a torn Achilles. Kevin Love is out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken bone in his hand. John Wall has some knee issues that'll keep him out 6 to 8 weeks. And then Kristaps Porzingis tore his ACL last night. They're all on Team LeBron for the All-Star game.
Ooh.
Cursed. They're cursed.
So they all played in the All-Star game with them?
No, the All-Star game hasn't happened yet.
Oh, yeah, duh. I'm forgetting.
So just watch out, man, because it's not death coming for you, but a serious injury is on the horizon for the rest of Team LeBron. So, eyes open.
So, who else is on that team, do you know?
I will look it up.
Take those guys off the floor. Or get traded immediately to the other team.
His first pick was Durant.
Ooh. Now, see, that could actually help him. Long term.
Yeah, he's like, I wouldn't mind if everybody on my team got hurt.
Right.
The one guy that he actually needs to get hurt.
As long as it's not him. That's an interesting little nugget. Hey, so right before we got started here today, I had a new weekly notebook get posted. I'm going to be doing this throughout the NFL draft season with Pro Football Weekly. Hub Arkish's outfit.
I used to intern over there.
First one got posted about 12:30 today, so you can go check that out at profootballweekly.com. And this one focused on Big Ten studs. So kind of the deal they wanted me to do is because I do sidelines for Northwestern, I see a bunch of these guys throughout the season from the sidelines up close and personal. A lot of them Big Ten. I'm not going to be writing about the Big Ten every week, but that was a starting point this week, was to focus on some of these guys that I saw during the season. So I got some nuggets on there on five prospects from the Big Ten. And then they have the feature The Way We Hear It. So a couple little things include, and I'll share one just to give you a because it segues into my next item here on Buried Headlines. But Tyler Lancaster, Northwestern's nose tackle, I've been hearing that he wasn't invited to the combine. This is a guy who's been pretty good for Northwestern, pretty stout, solid, reliable player, team captain. They love him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he should at least be getting a look by the NFL, not invited to the combine. I've been hearing that some teams want to work him out as an interior offensive lineman.
Interesting.
So that's one of the things I put in this in my first notebook today on Pro Football Weekly, he played center in high school. So there's at least a couple teams I know that want to work him out as an offensive lineman, so you can keep an eye on that as Northwestern's Pro Day comes up, and I'm sure there'll be some private workouts that he gets a chance to do as well. But some sad news involving Tyler Lancaster, too, that a couple sad things with Northwestern that I wanted to share with you. You probably read, and Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune wrote a good story on this during the season, but Tyler's father was battling cancer throughout the season, and unfortunately he passed away last week. And really sad news there for Tyler and his family. Thinking about you, buddy. But, you know, I at least want to share a really cool moment. His dad was there fighting to, you know, not only for his life, but to watch Tyler as much as possible this season in person, and he was at the Music City Bowl and on the field with Tyler after the game. In fact, we were trying to interview Tyler at one point. The way the game ran long, and we had a Blackhawks game coming up, things got crazy down there. Didn't get a chance to do it, but at least had a few moments there congratulating Tyler, and his father was there. So I'm at least glad that they both had that outstanding moment together. You know, before he left us, unfortunately. And so thoughts with Tyler and the Lancaster family. He's a great dude, high character, and he'll find his, at least with in a training camp, Tyler Lancaster should be get an NFL training camp opportunity. And then Pat Fitzgerald last week tweeted that Jim Dog Davidson, who's kind of a, Fitz called him a behind-the-scenes star, and I think that's a good way to put him. He's one of those guys that's working on the chains and the footballs on the sidelines. You know, they always got staffers that handle that stuff throughout the game. He's been there every single game, road, home and road, for them the last few years while I've been doing sidelines. And unfortunately, he passed away a couple weeks ago. So, really sad to see that, because that was just a familiar face that you loved seeing and high-fiving throughout the game. So a couple sad notes there for Northwestern football, and a couple big losses for the Northwestern football family. Speaking of the Wildcats, though, nice basketball win last night against your Michigan Wolverines.
Indeed.
Do you care about basketball as much as football?
No, not as much, but still a fan. Absolutely. Yeah. Michigan, pretty good defensively, really bad at free throws. Did you see them against Minnesota the other day?
So, did you and Dave Ennett have a fight this morning?
We have a fight every morning, actually.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, this one was a little more intense.
Joe's been producing on Steve Cochran's show, too, pulling double duty for us here on Sports Central. We appreciate him doing that, but Dave gets a little feisty about his Wildcats.
He sure does.
So,
and when I buzz him on the White Lightning game.
Wasn't too happy about that, I heard.
No, he brought it up a couple times.
I know, I think. So does he growl like the Wildcat when he gets mad?
Yeah, he becomes the Wildcat.
Yeah, he's a little bit more fierce than Willie. Yeah. All right, you got the roster for Team LeBron. Everyone else
sure
is going to get hurt.
Yeah, so DeMarcus Cousins already injured. Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, the former teammate, LaMarcus Aldridge, Bradley Beal, Dragic.
So these are all guys that he, that were healthy when he drafted them like a week ago.
Andre Drummond, Paul George, Kevin Love, Oladipo, Porzingis, he just got hurt, Wall just got hurt, and then MVP, Russell Westbrook.
Watch out.
Yeah.
What if Durant goes down? Then there'll really be something to this.
Yep.
You handed me this story, Joe, just a couple minutes ago.
I love this.
The New York Yankees acquired Russell Wilson in a trade with the Rangers. This happens every year about this time with Russell Wilson. He gets an invite to training camp for spring training for a baseball team. And he's been with the Rangers, who held his rights. So he would basically show up and just, like, put on a jersey and do some batting practice, some fielding drills for a few days. And it's really just a publicity stunt more than anything.
And he gets some free tickets and some swag. Now he can get some Yankee swag. He can probably get out of OTAs. Like, Pete Carroll gets on the phone, hey, we gotta, you know, get to camp. And he's like, sorry, man, I'm at BP. I gotta take some cuts. I gotta take some grounders. You know, just in case. Who's the second baseman for the Yankees?
Who is the second baseman now?
We should be able to.
It's not Starlin, is it?
No, they just traded him. Oh, I guess so. We have to find out.
Yeah, that's why we can't think of it. Well, this story is from Jerry Krasnick on ESPN. Giancarlo Stanton isn't the only superstar newcomer who will be making an appearance at the New York Yankees training camp this spring. The Texas Rangers on Wednesday traded Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson to the Yankees for future considerations. Wilson, a four-time... It'd be great if, like, the Rangers, like, a year from now, were like, yeah, remember that Russell Wilson trade? You owe us Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, we'll take Gleyber Torres.
Yeah. Wilson, a four-time Pro Bowler, is expected to appear at the Yankees Grapefruit League camp in Tampa sometime in February or March. Wilson, 29, has no plans to emulate Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson and try to reinvent himself as a two-sport athlete. Sources familiar with the situation told ESPN. No kidding.
But now the Yankees and Mets can do a little flag football action, you know?
Yeah.
Tebow versus Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Stellar.
If Tebow's really trying to play baseball, though. Wilson has long expressed a desire to play for the Yankees, and the Rangers general manager John Daniels and his New York counterpart Brian Cashman have spent several weeks working to accommodate his wishes. I'm sure they spent a ton of time on it. That's a fun little story. All right, fun show today. Crazy news. Our plan here on Sports Central isn't to do football every single day, but there's just been so much of it, it hasn't stopped. With the trade deadline tomorrow, and by the way, the trade deadline 2 p.m. Thursday, we'll obviously give the Bulls plenty of coverage tomorrow because I don't think they're done yet. I think there's some moves that still could be coming with the Chicago Bulls, and the trade deadline will be coming right to the wire while we're on live. And, if you're listening to the podcast version of this right now, you can listen live every day, 1 to 2 p.m., WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio app. Go download that if you haven't. It's a great app, and you can listen to the show that way live, or you can listen to a podcast anytime on that app or on iTunes or on Google Play. Just search WGN Sports Central, and we're happy if you listen either way. We don't care as long as you're listening. Please rate and review the podcast if you don't mind. We appreciate you doing that.
And for the NBA GMs that are listening, Campaign is available.
Yeah, it's a great point.
He is available.
I hear we do have NBA GMs that listen. So Cameron Payne, come get him. Maybe we could throw him in the Russell Wilson deal as the future consideration somehow. Yeah. Work a three-way sport. That really would be a three-sport trade.
Yeah.
I like it.
But the White Sox are left out again.
Yeah, of course. Of course they are. All right. Fun show. NBA trade deadline tomorrow. We will talk to you then on Sports Central.